It's Valentine's week. Love is in the air. And of course, intimate health is all around the center of love. With that in mind, this Valentine's week, I just thought we'd have a nice, easy show. I spoke to the wonderful Yvette Langton from Whale Introductions Limited, and we're talking about people moving away from dating apps and back to agencies where they can meet in person and be matched properly. We're going to look at a few wacky Valentine's did you knows. We're going to talk about that spa in Romania because we need to. But this is the tune of love. This is the one that your man's playing, sprinkling the red petals on the bed with the champagne. Bollinger's my favourite, mate. Nice candle lights, a nice massage, and I don't know what you're going to do. Whatever you do, do it safely. There is nothing greater than love. There is nothing bigger than love. God is love. There is nothing greater than love. That's for sure. I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness, right here on UK Health Radio, the station of love, because it loves to teach you, coach you, inspire you, motivate you, and encourage you in all areas of health. How you doing? Back in the old days, we call this a scrupsin tune. Just find a little nice dark corner and just hold on tight and just wind one way and then wind the other and And you know, in the old days of the soul, we rub off the wallpaper in one little spot. I hope you're dancing, I hope you're smiling. Because you're alive, you can. I thought I'd just get a few fun facts about Valentine's Day so we'd have a bit of fun. So obviously its origins were in ancient Rome. Valentine's Day may have started with the festival of Lupercalia, a pagan fertility celebration held on February the 15th. It was later Christianized and associated with St. Valentine. Didn't know that. But that's quite an interesting fact. The first Valentine, the oldest Valentine, was written by Charles, Duke of Orleans, in 1415 while he was imprisoned in the Tower of London. And around 145 million Valentine cards are sent. Valentine Day cards are sent out and exchanged annually, which makes it the second most popular card-giving holiday after Christmas. I mean, even Trump's Easter. That's kind of sad. And did you know the XOXO meaning, the X symbol for kisses, comes from the medieval times when people signed documents with an X and kissed it shortly after. So that's where your XOXO comes from. And this is actually true. Lovebirds do exist. There's an actual bird called the lovebird, known for forming monogamous bonds. You could talk to a few men then, couldn't you? I'm just being cheeky. And actually, this is really interesting. In South Korea and China, singles celebrate Black Day on April the 14th by eating black noodles if they didn't receive a Valentine. I'd have been eating them many, many years on a trot. That's for damn sure. Anyway, I hope, like me, you to remember that you are blessed and highly favoured, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem and the answer to somebody's prayer. Now, I did not know. I did not know that that firm, T-H-E-R-M-E, spa place in Romania was trending and was some big thing. I should have guessed, really, on social media. Now, I might have just gone on a bad day, but I would say, don't waste your money. Because seriously, they've done up the spas in David Lloyd's. And they've got six of those saunas in there. And they may not be on the same scale and may not be as pretty as some of the spas over there. But at least you can get in them. At least you won't have to queue outside for an hour, 2 hours and be held outside and watch as they've got 6,000 people inside. They've got the queue for those who bought their tickets online before they arrived, myself included, being longer than the queue for people who are trying to pay on the day, knowing that there's an hour and a half's wait, knowing that they've oversubscribed, but they're still selling tickets. I went for my hairdresser, whose birthday is on the 11th of February, to celebrate her 50th. So I went for the day. They went for 3 days. And unfortunately, Mum is not very well, so she's back in hospital. So I'm glad I just went for the day. However, my experience of Ryanair, that's a whole nother story altogether. But Ryanair, apart from the head steward we had coming back, who was a lovely guy, Ryanair, you take all, capital, A space L space A, L. You take all the joy out of flying. You make it a horrible experience. And so usually your holiday starts at the airport. Not with Ryanair, I'm sorry. That's all I've got to say on the subject. I was so unimpressed, and the feedback, you won't like it. But honestly, the way I was treated, I shall be trying to claim on my insurance. I wasn't impressed. Anyway, besides that, I give God thanks for everything. I have an attitude of gratitude because I don't want to grumble and complain. I'm just stating a fact. But what I found, we got there, I thought, well, at least I'm still going to get there and we booked treatments and it's just a day out and it's a nice place to go somewhere different and do it. So when I got there, expecting to get my facial, my body scrub, my massage, I said to my friend, did you book them? They're like, that's another story, Jen. How can you have a place that accommodates around 6,000 people still selling tickets when it's sold out to maximum capacity and only have 8 masseurs? 8. So that within 15 minutes of opening, all treatments are gone. Honestly, it was a travesty. Because I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. I don't think we were treated very well. I didn't like that. I was not impressed with the fact that you fly 3 hours to get somewhere, to stand outside in the cold for 2 hours, watching people that haven't paid, queue to pay and get in before you, then being told there's a good 90-minute wait, having to wait just as long to get a drink, to get some food. It's ridiculous. All that way to go and sit in a sauna for 15 minutes once you can get in it. Anyway, let's go back to what I was talking about before we bring in this wonderful interview. So, just in case some of you are thinking about what you could do a little bit different for Valentine's this Friday, this fabulous Friday, think about this. You could have an escape room love test. And that escape room love test would allow you to see how well you and your date work together under pressure. I mean, sometimes it's like, let's go for dinner. The prices are inflated. Everything's inflated. So you might want to do something different. This is really great. So you want to test yourself under pressure? Have an escape room love test. Use your imagination. Or what about a drive-through dinner crawl? Now, my date could never be telling me about we're going drive-through dinner crawl. That is not happening. But you could get one course of your meal from a different fast food drive-through. Now, if you eat junk masquerading as food and you like fast food, it's up to you. But you could, if you wanted to make it really special, you could maybe go to Hakkasan for starters. You could possibly go to Savoy for your main course. You could possibly finish at the Ritz for dessert or something, or the Langham. So you could, yeah, that's right. I went highbrow. So you could, because that's what my date would be taking me to, highbrow. You could be doing those. You know, you could have the Ritz. You could have, you could go to Tiffany's for tea. Yeah, there's so many things you could do. Okay, I love this one as well. So you could actually reverse the date, not her and him. Reverse by starting with dessert first and ending with appetizers. See how you get on with that. That would be very interesting. Or you could do a museum mystery hunt. Dress as spies, make up wild backstories for the art you see. This is just really about stepping into your creative side, stepping into something a bit different for yourself, yeah? But, you can go roller skating. That would be a wicked date. That would be so good, right? Go full 80s with neon outfits and skate under the disco ball. That would just be proper. Or you could do, see, I'm coming up with some really good ideas for Valentine's. You could do a Valentine's thrift challenge. Each person gets £10 to thrift the weirdest, funniest Valentine's outfit for the other. £10. You just gotta go to a thrift shop. You could find something really wacky and fantastic. Or DIY fortune cookies. Write personalized messages for each other inside so you can make your own. Karaoke love battle. Compete by singing the worst and cheesiest love songs. It'd be absolutely fantastic. You could sing the worst and cheesiest. And who is going to win the karaoke love battle? I mean, listen, my email, pelvicsecrets@icloud. I really want to know which one of these wacky ideas you've taken on board. The love letter time capsule, write letters to each other and set a future date to open them. That's a lovely one. And then Haunted Valentine. Take a ghost tour instead of the typical romantic dinner. Love and fear go well together, right? Love and fear go well together, really. But as you see, you could, so instead of a typical dinner, just think of going on a ghost tour. A bit of love, a bit of fear. Oh, I'll protect you. My hero, my hero. You could do a million crazy, wacky things for Valentine's. But just before I bring in the wonderful Yvette to have a conversation that I had with her whilst at the hospital looking after my mum, and the only private space I could find was in one of the shower toilet cubicles. It was hilarious, but that's where I did that interview. So I do apologize in advance for the acoustics, but you may find it interesting. But before I do that, let me just read you a spoken word piece. TikTok. 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 The hearts don't beat like clocks. They beat in rhythms unpredictable, stumbling over first hellos, skipping at the sight of you. Love isn't a Hallmark card, not a heart-shaped box of chocolates, or a bouquet wilting in a glass vase. It's the way your laugh lingers, how your name finds new ways to rhyme with mine, the way our silences say more than our words. Forget the cliches. Love is the inside joke we'll never explain. The dance in the kitchen at 2 a.m. The I love you hidden in a text that just says, did you eat? Because hearts don't tick like clocks. They race, they pause, they trip, but most of all, they choose. And today, like every day, I
makes you feel good.
choose you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We are approaching Valentine's Day this weekend. It is the season of love. But are you a person that's finding that dating apps are no longer working for you? I am blessed to be speaking with dating expert Yvette Langton, and we are going to have a conversation about the reason why people want to meet face to face. As a woman, my husband coming, this is a conversation I'm impressed to have. So Yvette, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, listen, listeners, I do apologize. Mum's in hospital.
And I'm just sitting in the shower and just trying to find a quiet space. This is too funny. So, Yvette, what have you found? I mean, swipe fatigue. What is swipe fatigue, and why are people moving away from dating apps?
Well, the dating app arena doesn't provide security and authenticity for many singles, I'd expect. Most users of dating apps range from scammers, people in unhappy relationships who are simply dipping their toe in the water, really, to see who's out there, and even those seeking a quick sexual fling. So it's definitely not for everybody. I've spoken to, countless numbers of people who have tried dating apps, felt let down and fatigued by it all, not to mention the time they spent scrolling and swiping, only, to be rejected or subject to harassment or insults.
Yeah, I think also, I suppose there's been a big thing after, the sad tragic death of Sarah Everard, and that was off a dating app. I think it was off Match.com, so it was off a dating app, but people, maybe there's a bit of a hesitancy as well, because people can put any picture on those dating apps, and then when you meet them, I did see them on the Instagram the other day, and the guy says, "Oh, don't look like your picture." He goes, "Could you do me a favor? Could you do a 360? Just do it like a 360." And when he comes back around, he's running
Yeah.
distance. So cheeky, But I mean, I suppose that's the thing. And for me personally, when we were in lockdown, I said the thing that people missed the most was touch. And if you know about love languages, that's my love language, is quality time and physical touch. And the fact that you can't actually be able to sort of physically see somebody, their body language is certainly like us now, doing this pre-recorded interview, but the body language is so different if I was interviewing you face to face as it is when we're
Sure,
online.
yeah.
So, maybe that's some of the things that people are struggling with. Do you find that?
Yeah, but also there's so much awareness of mental health nowadays, and dating apps can have a knock-on effect to a person's mental health and confidence. With a one-to-one matchmaker in your corner, you feel as though you don't feel as though you're on your own. And it's the personal service. It's because, when someone, joins my agency, I'll have met them in person, but I would have always also met the man and vice versa. So it's very, very one-to-one, insofar as, I've met him, I've met her, I talked them through, what each person is like. And then obviously we organize a phone call between them, and then they meet each other in person. So there's none of this messaging constantly or, any of that kind of carry on.
And I think also, I mean, obviously the algorithms they use and how they set up the questionnaires on many dating apps are quite generic. So,
Yeah.
and I think there's also this thing about someone, and I suppose if you fill in a form and they ask you your age, I'm sassy, sexy, 62. That's how I say my age, not 62, because 62 sounds old. Sassy, sexy, 62 is different. And but you have a connotation, or you have a view or a vision of what a 62-year-old looks like. But if you see my Instagram post, it's like, there's no way you're 62. I am 62, but I've always looked after myself. So I have lots of energy, I have lots of vitality, I play sports, I do things like, I do a lot of personal development, I do a lot of affirmations and good speaking and stuff like that. So there's a big difference to how you carry yourself and how you get to a certain point. But I suppose really it's quite hard now to be able to, someone can say they've got this, and this, but when you meet them, they can't articulate well. They're a bit awkward when you meet up. And so those things make it quite hard. I went to St. Lucia a couple of years ago for my goddaughter's wedding, and I met this really beautiful guy, and he came back and the next day he said, let's go out for lunch. So we met with him for lunch, and at the end of it, he said to me, "So how are we going to do this?" And I was like, So the minute he said that, and then he was looking for another date, I was like, "Never again. You've come back, you've called me the next day, you've are inviting me for lunch, and then you're saying to me, how are we going to do this deal?" And then you're saying, "Well, once I get to know you, then I'm happy to pay for you." That alone was, oh gosh, I don't know if this is worth meeting in real person or meeting online. I just didn't know. It was just such a random way to sort of do something. I've got no problem paying half. That doesn't bother me at all. It's just the way in which it comes about sometimes, and the way in which a person speaks. And if you have to get to know me first before you're willing to buy me a meal, then we can just get to know each other as mates over the phone. We don't need to do anything else,
Yeah, you
It's
see,
just really
that
difficult.
doesn't happen in the matchmaking world. I've never had a female client ring me and say, "Oh my God, he expected me to pay half for dinner." I've never ever had that. Hand on heart, never. And
Well,
it's something that I discuss when I interview a gentleman. Talk me through, what you do on a date. Because there's an awful lot of steering goes on in what I do. And you talk me through, but never have I ever, interviewed somebody. And this is literally is hand on heart. I've never ever come across
Well, that's the first thing. That's a new one for you, seriously. But
that.
I'm just seeing here that you're saying here that dating has changed and that around 1.4 million have abandoned online dating in the past year. And that you've got people that are sort of moving away from heterosexual relationships and moving away from dating the opposite sex.
Sorry, repeat this.
Here it says where women are swearing off dating men altogether. And growing interest in the South Korean 4B movement, rejecting heterosexual relationships, highlights a critical shift in the dating culture.
Don't really see that. Mine, I don't. Obviously, I don't facilitate for gays. For not because I don't want to. It's because I've never had inquiries. And if I did, it would steer me in the right direction to a matchmaker that does specialize.
Yeah. But I've never heard of the South Korean. I don't know what the South Korean 4B movement is.
Neither have I.
But I think,
That's a
yeah,
new
I
one.
think, no, I think what's happening now, first of all, people really, and especially with Valentine's Day, you want to be able to, because I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, you're going to meet up with this person and go somewhere. So, and I think when you turn up on Valentine's Day, when you're out with that person, the perception of the world is that you two are together.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to be with somebody and you're going to date somebody and you're going to go out for this weekend and you're going to enjoy Valentine's Day, then what would you suggest a woman should be looking for in maybe her first date or a second date? What should she consider? What do you guide? Do you coach women? Because there are a lot of women
Oh, I do. I
who
guide. I do. Because you have to understand what I do is so personal that they talk to me literally about everything, even what they're going to wear. The guy will ask me. The man will ask me. Where do you think I should take her? Where do you think she'll like? And that's and I love that. I get more excited than they do.
So what's the name of your agency then?
It's my initials, actually. I believe in it so much I stamped my name on it. It's YL Introductions.
Okay. And yeah, because I mean that sounds like a really good way of doing it. I think really now it's got to get to a point where in dating, if you're going to use an agency, you want someone that's going to one vet the people that are going to come through. Because you feel that if they're actually being vetted, you feel like there's a level of security that you don't have just on swiping. And then
Absolutely.
secondly, the matchmaking just seems to be more tailored. Does that make sense?
It's absolutely tailored, yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. And as well as that, I host events. So my clients, for instance, they'll be divorced, bereaved, every walk of life, and they will come to me, particularly if they've been divorced. And I've been divorced. It's the tapestry of life. You go by you guide on your own experiences as well. And I'm not, an agency that will take somebody on and then pass a 60-year-old over to a 25-year-old to look after because it just doesn't work. I like my clients to be able to ring me if they have a problem with something or, because clients become they become friends really. And then I introduce them. There's a the, when you've been divorced, there's an element of, I suppose, finding yourself, it's reinventing yourself even after a bereavement. So by doing what I do with events, I introduce them to new people, new network of friends, and I take them racing, polo, you name it. I do events for everything. So it's and that is a massive bonus for me as well.
Yeah, and I suppose also, like you said, meaning if you're divorced, you've got to take away the character and identity that was that marriage and know
Yeah.
that, there's things in that marriage that may not have worked, and there's parts of your maybe your character and identity that may have contributed to where you find yourself, but there's other parts of you that are just perfect as they are. So like you said,
Absolutely.
developing yourself, reinventing yourself. And for the man, because everybody has baggage. So like I specialize in female intimate health. And so I'm going to do an event next month on International Women's Day about the feminine energy and how it impacts that intimate health. So as a woman in her sassy, sexy 60s, you're going through the menopause, there's all those biological changes that happen for a lot of women that are going through, coming into and going through the menopause, and don't realize the biological changes happening around their pelvis and in the intimate area. They get into a new relationship, they try and get into intimacy, but because they're not aware of those changes, it may make intimacy quite difficult. Then that may interrupt the relationship. And so the new relationship sometimes can be stalled before it gets going because the intimacy isn't there because of the female changes that have happened that have never been recognized, acknowledged, or addressed. And so, you know, I think I would love to do a workshop for your dating agency for the women as well, because that's the thing that I think a lot of women struggle on. I've had them need to come into my clinic when I was in Hartley Street and just cry and say, like, you know, I just didn't know what to do. I couldn't believe what happened down there. It just made penetration really painful. I couldn't experience it. And so the relationship had died before it got started again. And I always say to women, the difference between women and men, obviously, anatomy, is that if a man has an issue, erectile function, it's something visible and more tangible that he can actually see that he will go and get corrected and fixed. But ours is an internal issue. It's a vessel. And so we don't experience it until something comes to it, you know. And that's why there's a big change. We also don't realize where we store our emotions and our hurts and our safety and our security and our, you know, the way in which we see ourselves. We don't realize it's all stored in that area. So that can be, do you ever find you have any issues around that? Because that can be a big challenge for women.
I have not too much, actually. Women tend to sort this, you know, like, obviously, I'm 56. I'm menopausal.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
So, 56. Fabulous 56. So, you know, it is an issue for every woman. You know, nobody gets away with it scot-free, really. Mm. But it's important to, you know, speak to somebody about it if there is a problem. Because men do, you know. We're everybody's very local focal these days. In terms of mental health, or physical health, you know, checking yourself, this, you know, every aspect of it. I think we're very clued in nowadays.
Yeah, we are. So if somebody wants to come to you, they come on. So talk me through the registration process, what happens, and usually what the success rate is. And also for myself, because I'm a woman of color. So I find that sometimes on services like yourself, there aren't always as many black men on those services. And whilst I'm not worried if my husband is a white man, he's a white man, but when there was another agency that I was looking at, but I said to her, she had less than 5 black men in there. So I said to sign up is to kind of say, I don't want to date black men. And I wasn't at that place.
Again,
does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying. Well, obviously, I'm up here in Yorkshire, so it's... It's flat caps all the way, you know. So, although I do have black clients in London, you know, that's never an issue. I think some people will say, you know, like I get people that come to me and they say, okay, I'm obviously Irish. What are the chances of meeting somebody, you know, I've got Irish roots, can I go over there? You know, it nothing surprises me anymore by, you know, what I'm asked on a daily basis. But you have to remember, 90% of clients come to me through recommendation, either that or through the website. And then as soon as they inquire, we set up a telephone call and we just kind of take it from there. Because, you know, my agency needs to be a good fit for them as well.
I'm doing a radio interview.
Yeah, it's... So after each inquiry, you know, a telephone call is set up to discuss their requirements, their background, their lifestyle, to ascertain, you know, whether personal matchmaking is going to be a fit for them.
Yeah.
You but know, you... because as a matchmaker, you know, trust is one of the most important factors. So it's imperative that the matchmaker, like, you know, I get on very well with my clients and we're confident with each other. You know, if I send somebody out on a date and they say something ridiculous or they, you know, that came across really badly, when I do the follow-up call, you know, I should be able to say to them, you know, what were you thinking coming out with something? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's go on.
Sorry, I'm going to ask you. So the events that you do, Do you do a lot of events in London? Because I mean, this is, you're in Yorkshire. Do you do a lot of events in London,
I
or
would
do you
do
spread them out
like
around the
Royal
country?
Ascot, for instance, Royal Ascot, and even some other agencies, some of their clients come to my events. So, it's racing. Like last week, for instance, I hosted an event at a beautiful art gallery in York, but I invited, clients from another agency, and that agency is in London. But again, they'll have, I could do collaborations with other agencies as well, so my network is much larger. So that's, I would have clients that came up to that last Thursday from London.
Oh,
So,
great.
and I had some come over from Cheshire, the Northeast as well, from Newcastle.
So where would people go to get more information?
They just contact me to get into the website, get in touch with me.
So where would people go to get more information?
Yeah, they'd contact me via my website, www.yleintroductions.co.uk.
Are you on Instagram? Are you on social media?
I am on social media, but I don't tend to, people tend to, contact me direct because,
Yeah.
it's the level of confidentiality here is the key,
And that's what makes the difference.
That's what makes the difference, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna contact you. I'm definitely gonna contact you. I think that like, you get, like you said, you get to a set age, and I know what my non-negotiables are. I know what my negotiables are. And it's quite funny because a friend of mine said to me recently, your pool of men is much smaller because you're older. You don't have as much choice. Because a woman that's 20 years younger than you, 30 years, has a bigger choice. But as a Christian, I'm like, it's easier to get a camel, it says in the Bible, through the eye of a needle. So I don't need a big pool. I'm not looking for a big pool of people, but it's the caliber of the person that I'm looking for,
Exactly.
and the way in which they, the way in which they, I want to know if it's a person that's willing to forgive. I'm not interested in a person that's going to come to me, and because they've had a bad divorce, when they start to talk about their wife, their eyes just glaze over and they go off into this other whole
Tangent.
other world. Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, you're not a man that's forgiven, and you're going to bring that to me. So already I know I'm going to be measured and I'm going to be judged. And I think those are the things that sometimes make it hard. It makes it hard for women and men because it's not easy to forgive. I do a lot of work on forgiveness with my clients. It's not easy to forgive, I understand. But in order to be happy, it's something for me, I say it's the foundation of your happiness. You've got to forgive because the person that hurt you may not even be alive anymore. But the fact that you refuse to forgive, your only person you're hurting is yourself. You're carrying around what somebody did to you in the past, which actually becomes a part of your present, and it becomes a part of the anxiety or the fear or the judgment or resentment you take into your future, which means you stifle yourself. So, those kind of things, you do in your bedroom, that those are the kind of things that women want to avoid. A man wants to find a good woman, a woman wants to find a good man. But if you've all been through, like you said, you've been through a divorce, it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a
No,
person
absolutely.
that had poor judgment either, because at the time when you was where you were, you had a beautiful relationship. But we can, if we don't plan and we're not got the same plan and foundation, we're not journeying in the same way, then we part and we find someone that wants to journey the same way as we do.
And you need to move, you need to, go on that journey, leaving the past behind you. Like I get with ladies, that ring me and, we have a chat and then even when we meet and have coffee or a glass of wine or whatever, they'll open up and they'll tell me about, previous relationships or the ex-husband or whatever. And the first thing I say, don't come into this based on, basing everything on what's happened in the past. This is a new beginning. This is a new chapter of your life. And
Definitely, definitely.
you can't look at all the people in the graveyard, that would love to be here, embarking on a journey like this, but it's too late. So, embrace the future.
Amen. That's a great bit said, doesn't it? But it is true, it's true. Look at all the books that didn't get written in the graveyard, all the things that didn't get done in the graveyard, all the regrets and hurts. Let them be in the graveyard, not in the living. This is the land of the living. So
It's a
if you want to
living land.
live well. Yvette, it's been a pleasure to talk to you from the
It's been a pleasure to
bathroom
talk to you
of
too.
North Middlesex Hospital in Edmonton.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Love isn't red roses wrapped in cellophane, or candlelit dinners where forks clink against porcelain. It's not violins swelling at the perfect moment. It's the song you hum under your breath when you think no one's listening. Love is the sweatshirt I stole from your closet, the way your name sounds softer when you say it. The way your laugh feels like a childhood memory I didn't know I had, but never want to forget. It's the coffee you make just the way I like it. The knowing glance across a crowded room. The comfortable silence that holds more meaning than a thousand whispered I love yous. See, love isn't always fireworks. Sometimes it's a slow burn, a steady glow. The kind of warmth that doesn't flicker when the wind blows. The kind of home you don't have to pack a bag to return to. And if love is home, then baby, you are the key. There is no place like you. So I do hope that's my rendition. I'm trying to be a bit, you know, happy for Valentine's. So I hope that this Valentine's week has been good. I want to apologise again in advance. I know it wasn't the best audio and I do apologise for that. But I think it's authentic and I wanted to use it because it was definitely different. You know, and sometimes we're doing things, we're doing them in the most inopportune places. And I suppose you get interviews all the time with background noise in them and people talking in the background. And essentially, there are many women out there who do want to date again, who do want to have an opportunity to be able to start life afresh, and men as well. And it's not that easy to leave your baggage behind. But as I said, literally think of it like this. There is a place that says left luggage. And it's not lost luggage. It's left luggage, not for reclaim. Think of it that way. You've got left luggage that's not for reclaim. And remember, there's good and bad in every relationship. When you stepped into the relationship, you didn't step into it thinking it was going to be all doom and gloom and you was going to end up being hurt. You stepped into something with hope, with love, with expectation. And it doesn't always work that way, but it doesn't mean it can't work that way. And it doesn't mean that because you've had a bad experience with one person, that all people are the same. So as long as we stop tarnishing everyone with the same brush and all genders with the same brush, we honestly have an opportunity to grow. And what we do is we think to ourselves, what did I learn from this experience? You know, what can I do differently? Because I'm still a person as well. I may have been hurt. I may have been disappointed. I may have had things that I didn't expect happen. But that means that the other person will have the same experience. Maybe not on the same degree. Maybe not to the same degree. Maybe not on the same level. But at some point, there's something that we will always disappoint somebody. Even if it's unintentional. But that's a way for us to grow. And if we can find out what it is that we do that upsets that person, we can then make a decision as to whether we want to keep that part of our character or to just let it go to one side. Because at the end of the day, there's personal development in divorce. There really is. And I'm not speaking as a person who's been divorced because I haven't. But I do know there's personal development in absolutely everything. You can develop yourself. Now, we have got 6 minutes left or so, if that. And I just want to finish this show by talking about International Women's Day. And I'm going to probably go with the theme, which I'd love to have your feedback on, pelvicsecrets@iCloud.com or pelvicsecrets on X, on TikTok, Instagram, Jenny with an I, Jennifer minus the F-E-R, Jenny with an I, Russell, on LinkedIn and Facebook. And I'd love to go with to find out your feedback on unfiltered, an evening of truths, health, and empowerment when it comes to our intimate well-being. And that's what I'm looking at the feminine energy and why it's so vital to our intimate well-being, and at every age. So this is a from menstruation to menopause and beyond evening, and it's going to be a powerful evening with some wonderful guest speakers. I'm just confirming them, so they'll be out soon. It's £29. There are literally 45 tickets. It's a very small, intimate, right in the heart of Soho on International Women's Day, Saturday the 8th of March. And it is going to be an absolutely amazing, amazing evening. We're going to have some open mic. We're going to be interactive. We are going to be able to be unfiltered. That's the beautiful thing, because this is going to be a safe space, an intimate safe space, where you can be unfiltered, where you can bring to the stage and to the platform and to the event your hurts, your disappointments, the forgiveness that you may be struggling with, the answers that you want for questions that you may feel are not being answered. So, for example, if I use my beautiful mother as an example, when she gets an infection and it affects her ability to swallow and eat and drink, her blood sugar goes through the roof. But of course, as a diabetic, what they do is they focus on the diabetes, and the language that they use is, your mum has come into hospital because of her poorly managed diabetes. Now, it's not so much that the diabetes is poorly managed, but it's, you've got to take into account the whole variables. This is a lady who walked into the hospital in 2022 and has never walked since. Whatever they did when she went into hospital, with the doctor's language, it's been a complete F up, and use the full word when it comes to your mum's care. This is what the doctor said to myself and my sister. She's no longer walked, she's now become non-verbal. So it doesn't matter about the food and, whilst it still matters about the food, sorry, it matters about the food. But what you have to consider is that because she does not move, and I mean she does not move, then she does not utilize what she takes on board because she does not move. And this is the issue that we have. So even her medication, nothing, she's got muscle wastage. If we don't turn her regularly, she's more susceptible to bed sores, which first developed in the hospital too. So there are all these different variables to consider. Because this is a person who eats well. I buy all organic, I make all those juices. You know, I talk about this all the time. However, the analogy is how to eat, move, and be healthy. You have to eat, move, and be healthy. You cannot eat and be healthy when you just don't move. It does not work. You have to energy in. Food is energy. Then you need to expend energy, and there's no expansion of energy to the point where it becomes even hard to expel stool, because that requires some abdominal strength to a point. But if you're lying all the time, then even that becomes deconditioned, and it can become constipation can become a thing, which can have an impact on the kidneys and the detox pathways, which can actually create UTIs as well. So you're kind of in this cycle, but the language alone on the surface makes it sound like you're doing something wrong, which then puts everybody else in a defensive position. But actually, you've got to see past that and recognize you're not doing anything wrong, but there are some variables that you may not have considered that you now need to consider. So there's so much to a progression of a sickness that we just need to learn about it a bit more. And as we learn about it a bit more, and we start to make changes to that, we can start to make changes to our well-being and our quality of life. So listen out for Unfiltered. It's going to be such a fantastic evening. We're going to have some real good fun. Lots of spoken word. If you feel that you want to share something on that night, honestly, it's going to be a really intimate, safe space where you can do that in comfort. And what's in the room stays in the room. The bits that I will want to share, I'll ask your permission beforehand. And we're going to have such a wonderful, eventful evening. And it's just £29. I'm taking 20, 25, and just taking the 25 at the end and taking the two twos, add it onto the 25 and making it 29. And 9 is actually the year of completion, so there has to be a 9 in what's happening. And we're the second sex, as they say, so 2, 5, 9, 8. it all works for me, and I hope it all works for you. So you can email me pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. You can find me on Instagram, X, and TikTok at Pelvic Secrets. And you can also find me on LinkedIn and Facebook, Jenny Russell. Until next week in health and happiness, happy Valentine's Day. Stay blessed, stay safe, stay well.